The Sci-Fora Film Podcast is a Thrave Productions podcast. The Sci-Fora Film Podcast. Saturday, or Splatterday, as they called it. We were there, both there for the 11 o'clock start.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Yeah, let me just find me note. No, I started off with a short film called Life After.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting because the guy who made this the night before at the Horror Roulette said that, because he'd made one of those films, and he said that Life After is the second film of a series of films, all of which are being shown at different festivals.
Yeah.
So I don't quite know how you're ever going to get to see all of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
If they connect to each other or not.
He did say in the Q&A that maybe he shouldn't have spread them out, but he said if you get to see all five or get to see all of them, then it is a good idea. But yeah, it's an interesting film. Now, I don't know whether or not it is the fact that they're all linked up or what, but I did feel like I was missing something. But so there might be some sort of link, but I'm not 100% sure. And with the guy, sort of some of the other bits that the guy that's been involved in this, there he does a lot of stuff with the cinematography stuff, and the stuff he does is amazing. I don't know. I felt like I was missing something.
Right.
Whether or not it's because of the fact that there was some sort of link or what, I don't know. But it just it was an amazingly good film, and it was followed up by. Talking about films that I should have watched the one before of, followed up by a film called Slasher House 3 Rebooted.
Right. Is there a Slasher House 1 and 2?
What can I say about Slasher House? Well,
is there a Slasher House 1 and 2, we need to know?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There is a Slasher House 3. Slasher House 1, sorry. 2 is technically part of... was meant to be part of 3, but they even found out it was long, so they cut it in half. So that's why there's now a 2 and 3.
Okay.
The whole idea behind it is the fact that they put a bunch of serial killers into a house that then fight to survive and fight and slash each other up, and whoever wins then gets taken on to then get a reward, basically, which is basically them getting extra better armor, better things like that, to then be processed and be put into a military organization.
Okay.
And it's just, it's so bizarre. Like the whole thing there, there was some funny bits in it. It's meant to be a comedy thing as well. There was a lot of gore in it, a lot of blood. But I think it would have made sense, because there's certain characters that appeared in it that are obviously meant to be from the first one. That sort of, and they do say about it. So I think it's a bit weird. Like if I'd seen the first one, maybe it would have made a bit more sense.
Right. Yeah.
But it was good. But the whole premise behind it is that he's done these slasher house films that have introduced these serial killers, so he's done this one. Is that's it? He's done and dusted the slasher house bit. But there's going to be off branches of the origin stories and things of to do with the serial killers
Fair enough.
and
That
all to
sounds
do in
good.
there. So it's all to do with stuff like that. I say this is another film that had a lot of people that were involved in a lot of the other films throughout the weekends involved in it as well. The
Yeah.
one of the actors in this was also involved in the film that was later on that day with the Chinese Zodiac film.
Yeah.
There was also some other people in it. One of the producers in it was also from something else. So it was a lot of people came together for this film to
Yeah.
help each other out. And it's basically all I can say for this weekend is that it shows, and they even talked about it, is the fact that everyone comes together to help each other out. No matter if their films are going to end up competing against each other in the same category or what, it's all about the fact that they helped each other out.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's how my morning started.
Well, I started by watching a short film called Caterpillar, which had a good look. It was well made. It was a bit weird. It was well acted. Really interesting idea. It was kind of Shades of Invasion of the Body Snatchers in some way, because this guy, things around him keep changing, people around him keep changing, the look of them changes, and he doesn't know if it's him that's going mad or what's going on. But it's quite a good film. It was quite an interesting film to watch.
Yes.
Then I watched a film that I really wanted to watch, called Visitors Complete Edition. Now, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, there was a short film called Visitors. That short film made up the very first part of this film,
Yeah.
in which three friends go to see a fourth friend of theirs who they haven't seen for a while, and it all goes a bit Evil Dead. There's kind of demons and things there, and they get attacked by these demons, and it's just blood and gore and everything. And the guy
Yeah.
you're going to see is really kind of like nonchalant about the whole thing, doesn't really pay a lot of attention. Then there's a second section, which again I saw as a short film,
Yeah.
in which this guy wakes up in a bar and he's tied up, and then there's another guy unconscious on the floor and who comes to and has got half his face missing. And again, there are demons who turn up in this bar and start attacking these monster things. And there's a woman from the first film, the first part of the film, who kills these, who attacks these demons with a chainsaw, who then turns up in the second one, and both her arms are missing, or the bottom ends of her arms are missing. And instead of like her hand, she's got chainsaws.
Okay.
As she goes down to attack them, and then it goes on from there to get even more bizarre. And it's about this battle between monsters and humans. Some of it is really funny, especially because of the fact that this guy's a music producer, and he's decided he's made some music he wants to play to this woman who saved his life. But then when he finds her, she's been turned into a monster or into a demon. But when he plays the music, she takes him to this house where it all started.
Yeah.
And all the demons and monsters there. The guy who was there in the first place is still there as a human, quite happily living there with these demons. But when they play the music, all the monsters and that just want to do is dance to it. And then it gets this really bizarre bits which make no sense whatsoever. And then, for some reason, right towards the end, for no explained reason whatsoever, this sort of monolith thing appears, like in 2001. And a hole opens up in the side of it, and there's two aliens there who play the same piece of music that this guy was playing, and they start dancing to it as well.
Okay.
And it is brilliantly insane. Some excellent makeup, brilliant effects. I love this film. I thought it was fantastic. It was such a great film.
Sounds it. Yeah, so I then went on to do my one that sort of start off the afternoon. Now, I because of the day before, I had a bit of a dodgy stomach, so I missed the short finish because I needed the loo.
Okay,
It
that
ran
was
up a bit.
fused.
So I was a bit disappointed with that because I thought I really needed to go, and I thought, but I don't want to miss it. But I was back for the feature, which is called Isaac. Now, I wasn't 100% sure what to expect from this film, but it's not what I was expecting. So basically, I'll read you what it says in here, in the book that we've got. And it says, a company specializing in cellular meat trial. No, I'll read that again because my brain just did. A company specializing in cellular meat trial is synthetic technology in a bid to create the perfect child.
Obviously.
Yes, exactly. It's just my next step. When you do synthesized meat, you've automatically got to go to child.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's quite a harrowing story when you think when you read into and watch it, because the family that they talk to are were parents before they had a kid in there, and they've lost it due to quite a serious illness that's meant to ha that can happen. It's genetic, so they wanted to do this whole way of doing it where the genetics weren't going to be activated, which I can understand for a lot of people in real life. It's a very traumatic thing. But this company who basically their whole idea is they don't actually kill the animal, they don't raise them, they don't, but what they do is take the proteins from the animal, inject other fats and bits into it to then create this meat.
Right.
This is pretty much what they did with the human or make the child. And as it grows up, it sort of goes on for a bit later, and it grows up, and they find out the financial struggles and the struggle of the family to actually go, oh, this is what's going on, and other twists and turns of it. But they've also found out that it's not great. He starts going through these a bit of a breakdown thing, and starts having moments where he's sleeping all the time, and then when he is awake, he's really aggressive. The only time he's not is when he's just been fed. So they then take him to these doctors and find out that you find out that sort of find out that he's got a form of sort of what they'd be classed the same sort of thing as mad cow disease.
Right.
So, but they talk a bit more about the fact that the branch that he's got is actually same as what they found in a, which I looked this up, is actually a real place, and it is really true. But they found out that there was this place that there was a bunch of cannibals there. And their whole premise is the fact that when a member of the tribe died, that instead of burying them or cremating them, they ate them.
Right.
So that way that they could be at one with the fam, be at one with the dead, and the fact that their soul was aware of releasing their soul. And they ended up, because of this happening and because of the illness and all that, it gave them a form of mad cow. It's a technical term for it.
Yeah.
So they find out this kid has the same thing through eating the proteins that they created him from.
Okay.
And it splits the family up. The dad, so you see it from the dad's point of view, and sort of him trying to struggle with what's going on, and finding out this stuff, finding out that the company that made it all along. So he gets his revenge basically by, for most parents, doing the unthinkable to end the life of the child.
Okay.
And then instead of burying in it, uses it in the same way that this tribe did.
Oh, okay.
His revenge on the company. And it's such a dark, twisted film that
Yes.
it's so bizarre, because it starts off quite humbling. I thought, oh, maybe it's going to be a horror film because of, I don't know, there's going to be some sort of mutation or something like that. But the way it went, and I just sat there at the end of it was like, I genuinely don't know if I feel comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And it's not because of, like, I think it was more the content fit, it's the whole how easy it seemed for the dad to do it, even though he knew there was something wrong, it was still his son, and
Yeah.
it felt very bizarre. And it's, I don't know, it just It was very, very unsettling.
Yes,
It
I can
was
imagine.
a good film.
Oh, good. Yes. Okay, now while you were watching that, I did the Short Sharp Shocks, which are
Just saying that again.
films with a running time of less than 5 minutes.
Yes.
The first of these was a thing called Chef Gustave, which is an animated film which was really good and really funny. It was basically about a chef and the problems he was having in his kitchen with a cat. And it was bloody and nasty and slashery and all sorts of things. It was really good, though. I really liked it. The second film was called Girl in the Dark. It's about a guy driving through the woods and this strange child appears. And basically, he's a bit of a pervert and he ends up getting killed, which was quite good. I quite thought that was quite good.
What, the fact
Yeah.
the
Yeah, I quite like that.
killed?
The third film is called Old Flames, and I really like this. It's a bit odd. It's like there's a woman and she's doing stuff around her house, very atmospheric, dark sort of look to it. And there's this odd person, stroke creature, I don't quite know. It's got this kind of antlers that engulf that come out the side of its head and come around the front, and it's there in the house with her, but not with her. It's just kind of in the
There.
background. It's just there. And everywhere she goes, when she goes out, it's there. It's just sort of like it's in the background all the time. And then it ends with like a room full of people, and each one of them has got this odd sort of like person creature thing with an odd sort of like head thing
Yeah.
standing behind them. And it's kind of like, you know, that they're the people from your past, the people that are still there in your life, even though they're from your past. And it was really,
Okay.
really well done. I really liked it. I had a
I've
really
got me. I
good
think
year.
I did see a still of that in
Yeah,
one of the trailers
in
for
the
it, and it
trailer
did look very
for the whole
interesting.
festival, it shows a little clip of that bit
Yeah,
where
it did
you've
look
got the
very
room full of
interesting.
people. That was really clever. The fourth one was called Dolly Molly's Playhouse, where you got this closed toy shop, basically. Bit weird, and there's kind of like, you know, noises, and the person goes to investigate. And I couldn't work out if it was a full-size puppet or if it was a dead person that had been made into a full-size puppet.
Okay.
It was very strange. Number five was called Heartbreaker. Oh, very odd, slightly jerky camera work to it. This guy puts on this record and he's got a romantic dinner for two. And then it's all about sort of like, you know, you broke my heart and that sort of thing on this
Yeah.
song that he's put on. He then goes down and murders this woman in the cellar and then comes up with her heart on a plate and eats it.
Okay.
As you know. number six is called Stranger Danger.
Yeah.
I love this. It's made by A.D. Cooper, who made a film we reviewed a couple of times, and I interviewed her. Really, really good. It's an old lady in this who is played by Prunella Scales, who was Sybil Thorty in Fawlty Towers.
Yes.
And a young guy visits her. He's a salesman, that sort of thing. It's comedy-ish. It reminds me of an old Monty Python sketch where this
Okay.
woman lures milkmen into her house and then locks them in a bedroom. But in this one, she lures this guy. She asks, gets him to go down to the cellar because there's a problem down there, and then shuts him in this room. And there are all these other salesmen in there. Basically, it's just it's really, really good fun. It's really good. I like really liked it. But Prunella Scales is brilliant. She's a great actress anyway, but she's
Yeah.
really good in it. Number seven, Under the Bed. It's animated. It's a kind of poem.
Yeah.
Nighttime, the child in bed, kind of like scared to go to bed. I really quite like it because it's It's quite a nasty little poem. And it's voiced by Robert Englund, who, of course,
Oh,
Freddy
okay.
Krueger. But it's basically, it's like the kid's scared of what's under the bed, and the dad says, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing under the bed that you need to be frightened about. What you need to
Yeah.
worry about is what's in the closet. There's a really cool one, which is called Un Taco or A Taco, in which this guy basically refuses to give this street urchin some money
Yeah.
to buy a taco, and ends up having his finger ripped off, which is quite cool. And
Yeah.
there's one called Postponed. It's basically a virtual call that this woman's doing, and she's interrupted by noises in her house. I found this quite funny. It's not really horror, but it was quite funny. Basically, it's people losing touch with physical contact with people and just doing everything virtually. She hears this noise and she goes out to investigate it, and then she gets on the phone to her mum, and she says to her mum, "Something weird going on." She said, "Well, what's the problem?" She said, "Well, I heard this noise in the hallway, and I've gone out there, and there's a piece of paper on the floor with my name written on it." She went, "All right, okay. Don't know how he got there. He just said, I don't get it." She said, "What does it look like?" She said, "Well, it's just like an oblong piece of paper." He said, "Yeah, an oblong piece of paper. It's got your name and your address written on it." Said, "Yeah, it's a letter." "But how did he get there?" Said, "The long slit in the door, they put them through." Wow, it's incredible. So it was quite funny, but not really hard. And then there was a thing called Hoengast, which is apparently fear of heights. I'm not sure if it's Dutch or what it is. Couldn't work out if it was to do with dreaming or not. There's these couple of camping, and there's a kind of like a meteorite comes through the top of the tent that they're in. And the woman picks it up, and then she kind of has this feeling that she's falling, even though she's not actually moving at all at one point, but she feels like she's falling. But then she floats up into the air, which is really kind of weird, but it's really good, really not badly done. Then number 11 was called Skinny Dip. It's quite cool. Slightly jerky camera work, but really well done. It was kind of the sound effects of a couple. It's like you're almost kind of a step behind them, so you can hear them running through the dunes towards the sea, and you see their clothes sort of like as they're stripping their clothes off and that sort of thing. But then when you get down to the beach, there's like a dead body there that looks like it's been stripped of half its flesh, and then it's like camera carries on, and there's the other ones in the sea being attacked by a could be a sea monster or something. Which looked really cool. Number 12 was called Black as Before. It's a sort of a bath, communal baths, and this woman doing a ritual in it, a sort of witch type spell in this bath. And then she sort of like puts all this stuff in the bath, gets in, and then she sort of like sits up a couple of times. And the last time she sits up, there's another one of her in the bath next to her. And it's all a bit good effects, but and then the last one is Wolf Whistle. Some woman jogging at night, strangely enough, wearing a red hoodie, the Red Riding Hood type thing. But then she goes past these strange blokes, twists her ankle, and the guys are sort of wolf whistle at her, and just one of them starts following her and all this sort of thing, and goes they or two of them go to follow her. They go to attack her, and then these all female gang turn up all in masks and attack them, basically. So that was quite good. I quite liked that. That was that. So I'll go on next, because you really didn't do anything till six, did you?
No,
I
yeah,
mean,
it was a the anthologies. I know we were, didn't I watch the first anthology with you?
Pocket Full of Film Superstitions. Did you come in and watch that?
No, I didn't. No, I went off and did some other bits.
No, right. Well, I watched a short film which was called Collection Only. Really quite funny. I really liked that creepy house with a woman in it, sort of demon or possessed sort
Oh
of.
no, yeah, no, I did. I watched this one with you. Sorry, yes,
Yeah,
I remember now.
that
Yes.
was really good. That was I really liked that.
Yeah, that was it was a good mix of comedy along with it, and it was just the stupid bits of what people would do for a freebie.
Yeah, that was really good. I really liked that. And then nicking everything else out of the house as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had the Pocket Film of Superstitions, which is an anthology film.
Yes.
Now, this was done by Tom Lee Rutter, who's done a lot of these sort of things, and a lot of the people involved in this were involved in other films
Yeah.
over the weekend. And it's done with their usual good quality and comedy and all that kind of thing. There's some really good animation effects in this. The guy who did the voiceover is called the Shen, I think he is.
Yeah.
Very Hitchcock-like, Alfred Hitchcock-like in his voiceover. Really good. There were some parts that were a little bit overlong, I
Yeah.
felt. But on the whole, I really enjoyed it. There were a couple of really good parts because there were these, it was all to do with like short stories based on different superstitions.
Yeah, but people that take on where they started from, and
Yeah.
I do agree with you. There was there funny bits now. I do agree with you. There's certain bits that would seem overlong and overdone, but it was just certain bits of it was just hilarious.
Oh, absolutely. It was a really good film. I really enjoyed watching that. So then you disappeared into the other channel, the other screen.
I went to see a very very weird short called In.
In.
Yeah, as in family and sort of things
Yeah.
like this. KIN. What can I say about it? Well, it was a very bizarre film,
Okay.
but it was nice. Like, it was a lot of people said the same thing, that it wasn't what they were expecting, but it was good. I like the cinematography to it. To be honest, the cinematography was amazing on here. Just, I don't know, it's one of them films that it's all, no matter what I say, couldn't do it justice.
No.
It was a very good film, very well made. So I've quite like to see what other stuff these guys done. But and then we see a very bizarre film that was on the feature that was called How to Kill Monsters.
Yes.
Now, I looked this up, and it's meant to be like a follow-on to Book of Monsters and a few other things like that. But it's got quite a weird assortment of cast in it. Now, it's got Lindsay Crane in it. I think that's how you pronounce her name anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who has also been in Book of Monsters. She was also in the film that I see last year by a guy called Liam Rayne, who's she done Eating Miss Campbell.
Right, yeah.
And she's also in this. She plays the main person in this. There's a few other little names that have been in other things, but you've also got Andrew Dunn, who's in this,
Right.
who was also, I know him a lot from being in Dinner Ladies with Victoria Wood.
Okay.
The guy that was in the who worked in the cafe with him, who worked in that. So
Yeah,
he
yeah.
was in it. So he's obviously in it for like a comedy factor sort of thing. But it was a good film. It was a mix between the comedy and horror side of it. The cinema took not the cinema the visual effects and the creature design were amazing. It was so well done, and there was a couple of twists in it as well. I thought worked very well, and it was really good. I liked a lot of it, and I said to you when I come out that this is close to my. Because I think it's done the same sort of people, the same people in it. It was done by it was up there with what Eating Miss Campbell for me. It was quite an amazing film. It was so well done, and I've got to admit, I want to watch now like Book of Monsters and stuff like that just to
Yeah.
see all that. And I think it's just it was so well done.
Was Nicholas Vince in this one? Because I know he was in Book of
Yes,
Monsters. Oh, he was, yeah.
Nicholas Vince was in this one. There were quite a few, I've got the thing here, there were quite a different assortment of casts in it. There was also Johnny Van Vinish,
Okay.
who's an Irish actor. He's been in a few other films, and he's done. He was in Book of Monsters as well. He was also in Children of the Night, things like that. So he's been in a few different horror things. But he was sort of, again, another one that was there for a comedy factor, and there are different things in it. And it was the unexpected sound. Some of the creatures that they're one of the scenes that he talks about, and it's they see about this when they go to this sort of demon dimension. And he's talking about this creature appeared and massacred all these cops, and they're like, oh my God. And he turns around and goes, yeah, there was so much frosting. And they're like, frosting, and then it dripped on his shoulder, and looked up, and he finds out this cake that they got for this for the chief policewoman's retirement party had been demonized and turned into this massive demonic cake that was eating everyone. And it's just like it's just one of the things feels like that, and it's just like it's so well done and so funny. And it was bits that like it fit, it just fits so well. And I think it's really got, I mean, it was the whole twist and turn of it was a story within a story that then kept it interrupted in the way that it was done. And sort of it was the one unbelievable moment, like she's telling Lindsay Crane's character's telling this story, and she's telling it to two cops, and they're like, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. And so she then tells the story, and he's like, you've got to write, like, we asked you to tell us the truth. She's like, I am. So it goes back to the story, and something else happens. And he's like, no. And stop, keeps interrupting, and sort of, and it's just so well done. And I think it's just, it was a funny film that had the right amount of, like I said, the right amount of horror and the gore and the horror effect to it, and the humor, and it was just, basically, it was just a funny blood and gore fest.
Cool.
And it was very well done. It was a good, complete concept to the other film that I see afterwards, but
Yeah.
that will tell you in a little bit. This one, I think, was really well done. I would love to watch it again.
Cool. Well, while you're watching that, I watched the Short Film Showcase 2, which
Yes.
started off with a film called Manicure, which was a look at sort of OCD and body dysmorphia and other kind of issues like that.
Yeah.
It had a really great look to it. The cinematography was brilliant.
Yeah.
There were some great effects in it, but I don't know, it was okay. It wasn't a bad film. It was all right, but it left me feeling a bit kind of like, okay,
Okay.
the second film I really liked, Spiral to the Center. This was done as a kind of documentary type thing, music to do with music about a record collector,
Yeah.
who is collecting. He finds a white label promo, and then he decides to try and find out more about it, and he can't find anything out about it. Eventually, finds out about it, and finds out that this record company put out 12 albums.
Yeah.
And he tries to get copies of the 12 of them, and he's trying to find out about these 12 albums. And it turns out that they're a record company not far from where he lives,
Yeah.
and they did do a 13th album, but the 13th album was never released because the company, while they were in the process of starting to press it, the pressing factory and everything burnt down.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a look, somebody's making a documentary about him looking for these other records and all this kind of thing. I really like this. I think it works really well. It looks really good. It's really well made. I really like the music in it as well.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to, I was lucky to meet the guy and who made this, who was the musician, he made all the music for it as well as
Yeah.
acting in it. And so he's put out an album.
Yeah.
That's got music from the film in it, and they're talking about they may put out the 12 albums. He may do the music to put out the 12 albums as they are on the film, which could be quite cool.
Yeah.
And that third film was called Neonate. This was about a pregnant woman with a very odd neighbor who takes her in when she collapses, and it's not got a very nice ending because this woman's a bit mad and ends up sort of taking the baby out of this woman's body
Oh.
before it's really time for it to be done. Yes. The fourth film is called Gateway of the Sun. It's kind of like I found footage. It's an old video that somebody's watching. And it's a kind of, I don't know if it's a mockumentary or a documentary style thing, or it's about a cult. It's kind of a video of an actual kind of ceremony, and it really didn't do anything for me. I just didn't kind of get it
Yeah.
really at all. So that was it, really.
Well, while you're doing that, I watched, this is my last film on the night because the one that was on afterwards was classic. We're both seen so many times. But so I watched the, there was a, it was quite, I don't remember how to pronounce this now. Yeah,
Pareidolia.
Pareidolia. But it's basically, it's a thing that it's actually a not an illness or it's a film of things that if you can see things that aren't there and it looks like they're staring back at you, so like shadows and stuff like that. And it's basically that this woman, older woman, gets killed by one of these creatures that she's taught to try, sort of talk to. If she see things that aren't there, if you keep flick your torch on and on and off, it helps your eyes focus on something that you think's not there. She ends up doing this and ends up annoying this demon presence that's there, which ends up killing her. And while this is going on, you do hearing about this, there's a priest who's looking over a body, doing the last rites. He's played by a very known actor for not horror stuff, but for more TV series, which is Graham Cole, who was in The Bill,
All right.
which was very weird seeing him sitting in Romford Cinema because he was there watching it. It was weird just turning around and seeing him there, and it was just like, oh, okay. But yeah, so watching that, and he ended up doing it, freaking out and going to help the basically depossess this house. It's a very, very well done. The visual effects that they used for the demon and the creature were amazing. It wasn't like over the top, more like smoke and sort of slight factor. You could see it in the distance. It wasn't like there's a black figure and there's a creature. It was sort of like you could see something a little bit misty if you focused a bit, and then you'd see the eyes and all that. And it was very well done. The makeup design that they used for the woman's face at the end, thought amazing. I've not seen anything like that in any other film. Was really good. And the feature I watched, it's called Peter Rabbit, which has got me so many times because I keep wanting to say Peter Rabbit, but it's not. It's Rabbit. It's not an original idea film. It's a typical group of kids who bullied these other kids, and they thought something had happened to him, and he's not. He's come, then comes back to get his revenge, and it's just everything. And it's like years later, and he's getting his revenge. It's not, like I said, it's not an original story. It's a very bizarre take on it, though, because again, there's some famous sort of couple of famous names in it. The main guy that is helped these the two that want the revenge getting their organizations played by a guy called Guy Henry, who was in Casualty and Holby and stuff like that. So it's weird seeing people that have done stuff like that doing the horror side of it. It was a bit weird watching that, but it's not, I don't know, it's for me it was a good way to them to do it. It was a good film. It was a, I don't know, interesting thing, but it wasn't an original idea, which isn't, I know it sounds hard and it's very hard to do, but it's a unique way that they told the story, but for me it wasn't an original idea. Saying the location they done it in was amazing. The cinematography for it was fine. The effects they used on the death scenes and the things that were used and like the ways that they were killed were very, very good. Like they would say very like almost like feature film, top budget feature film sort of worthy. But it's just like I said, it's not an original idea, but it was still a good film. I really enjoyed watching it. I didn't think I would, but I really enjoyed watching it. I will say though, for anyone that's watching this that did see it, or it gets to see it. If someone can find me a copy of their mask they use, I will love you forever. Because it's a giant white bunny rabbit head.
Okay.
But so during the day it looks like that, but at night you can hit a switch and it lights it up with blue neons, and it's got crosses for eyes, and I just think it looks really cool.
Fair enough. So while you were watching that, I watched Horoscopes. It was Horoscopes 2, Chinese Zodiac. This was an anthology film made by lots of people. Basically, what they did was they took they each lots of different directors, and they gave them each gave them an animal for the Chinese zodiac, and they made a film based on that.
Yep.
So you know, some of them were better than others. The rat one was about a cheating boyfriend, which was quite good, and I think it was Rufus Hound was in that.
Okay.
The ox one was about a guy in a flat who kind of gets taken over by a demon, and he kind of pushes his girlfriend's sister out of a window. Then the tiger is about sort of gangsters and this woman who is killing them dressed in a tiger skin jacket, which is quite cool. Rabbit was about scientists and about a dead rabbit and the things that the rabbit saw before it died, and it's just really bizarre because they're all humans. Strange.
Okay.
Dragon, there's a man in the countryside, which is about a dragon. It's all right. Snake, which is kind of like a TikTok thing that they did, this brilliant thing. They did a pie eating contest, which of course
Okay.
was called the Python. And it was about people being poisoned. It was about the difference between poison and venom, and how this film
Okay.
shows people the difference between poison and venom. Horse, which was about a man in a flat with it's about drug stuff. Goat was a satanic ritual thing. Monkey was one of my favorite ones, actually. It was a Welsh thing, and it's about this kid who finds a monkey soup and is going to use it to put up on the scarecrow thing for his dad, and then this strange woman turns up and puts the suit on the kid and nails him up instead, which was kind of cool. There was Rooster, which was I don't know what that was about. I can't remember what I wrote down there. And there was a dog with this couple who were moving into a house, and this guy was keeping this woman in the basement,
Yeah.
but he was keeping her like a dog, which was really bizarre. And then Pig was about this, it was a Christmas one based on this guy who, quite funny, this guy has got this bloke tied up in this office, and he's going through the piggy thing, this little piggy in the market, and putting nails in this guy's toes as he's doing it, all to do with his sort of Marks and Spencer's Christmas sandwich being nicked from work. It was quite interesting. It was good. Oh, and there was a short before that I mentioned called Caretaker.
Oh,
Starts off
yeah.
with an old style grainy film, and then it's got an odd feel to it. It's a sick woman and a younger woman looking after him, and then this child turns up, and there's sort of flashbacks and odd things. No dialogue in it. I thought maybe there were ghosts at first. It's very odd and interesting, but again, a bit too long, I thought. But I think what it was about dementia, because the house they're in keeps cracking
Yeah.
and things like that. And I think I worked out that the old woman who was being looked after, the woman, young woman was looking after her, and the child were all the same person at different stages of their life.
Okay.
And it was all kind of being trapped inside this house with them. It was a bit odd, but very good.
Yeah.
So then after that, there was Dean of the Dead's Holiday Horrors and a short film called Nap. I didn't watch those, I must admit that, but the Dean of the Dead's Holiday Horrors was another anthology film.
Yeah.
All about them all in indie seasonal holiday films. And the other side, we had Sleep Tight, and the classic film was The Beyond, which
Yeah.
it's
What's that?
Howling in the Horror.
I've seen Beyond a couple of times. I know you have as well.
But also during the day, we had I had an afternoon show at 3 o'clock where they were a panel discussion with Ian McCulloch, who was in Zombie Flesh Eaters, and he was in The Survivors and
Yes.
Contamination. Cinzia Monreal, who was in The Beyond. Caroline Munro, who was in lots of the Hammer horror films, and was also in I think it was The Spy Who Loved Me, one of those James Bond films around that time, and Pauline Piert, who
Yes.
was also in some of the Hammer horror films and things of that type. And then there was a full audience with Cinzia Monreal and an audience with Ian McCulloch a bit later on, where they were answering questions and talking about their careers.
Yes.
Also, another person that was there on the weekend was Ross Sambridge, who
Yes.
is an actor that many of you will know because he was the body part of
Snork
Snoke. Yes,
from Star Wars.
from Star Wars. He was in was it The Last Jedi?
Yeah, he's also, as he describes himself, one of the furry Bee Gees from Star Wars.
Yes, he was
Yeah,
in the film Solo. There are three main Wookiees,
three main Wookiees, and
and he was one of them.
he plays the black and white one, and then he calls himself one of the furry Wookiees, furry Bee Gees, and he
Very Bee-Gees,
such a
yeah.
great man. It's so
But
down to earth
he's
and.
an incredibly lovely bloke. He really is. And what I loved is the fact that, I mean, I talked to him last year, I think it was, for about 5 or 6 minutes, and somebody said about us made a silly joke about us doing a film together because our body types are so different.
Yeah, was it your 5 foot?
I'm 5'7".
Yeah, and Ross is 7 foot 1, and
He's
he's
built like a stick, and I'm built like a beach ball.
I wasn't gonna say that, but yeah,
But
he's so down to earth, he's such a nice guy,
the thing that got
and
me was
he's
the fact that I walked up to the table where he was setting his stuff up, and he
yeah.
was standing there setting his stuff up, and he just glanced sideways, looked at me, and he went, "Hello, Andy, how are you doing?"
Yeah.
I thought, "Oh," it was
Oh,
really nice.
I did the same thing with one of the. He was signing autographs of people that were there on the. I think it was actually on the Sunday. It was the last day he was there, and I was talking to him, and he was sitting there signing autographs of people, and he's then just after all that, he stopped had a chat with me, and he was just having a laugh, and it's just he's saying he's so down to earth. He's such a great guy. He's such a laugh, and
Yeah.
he's just from what I can gather. I will say as well, he name dropped once someone that he's an idol of mine, and I love him to pieces. And he name dropped him so casually that it took me a while to realise that he did. But he was talking to me about something, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I was talking the other day to Andy Serkis," and I'm like, and
Yeah.
it's only about 5 minutes later. I went, "Hang on,
Well,
what?"
the thing is, he was saying to me that Andy Serkis, of course, did the voice, the face mapping.
That's the face for Snork, yeah.
Snork, he does the face mapping, but he said that Andy Serkis is the first to admit that he wouldn't be able to do the face mapping and be able to do Snork's voice if it wasn't for the fact that Ross did the body, so for him to look and for him to see how he moved,
Yeah,
so that was very
oh,
cool.
he does said the same to me. He's just he and he's actually got a deal. We had a deal with Andy. There was a picture of all three of them. So there's Ross, Andy, Snorks, and he
Yeah.
said that if anyone took along the pictures to Andy, he would quite happily sign it as well as where most people would you'd have to pay for their pictures and stuff like that. And he said that because it's all three of them, he's quite happy to sign it and pass it on because it's a joint thing between them. And if it wasn't for Ross or Andy, that character wouldn't be there. And as I say, and the fact that he's such a great guy, and he's just such a lot, and he's just got such a great sense of humor as
Oh
well.
yeah. He's a good, really good, really nice guy. Okay. The Sci-Fora Film Podcast. The Sci-Fora Film Podcast is a Thrave Productions podcast.